Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Today is Thursday, as you know, because it's Teensation. This is Star, and we want to welcome our listeners, of course, for tuning in. We're Teensation, where we always have something to say. And, of course, we'd love to welcome our teen host, Ashley.
Hello, guys.
Edric.
How's it going, folks?
Justine.
Hey.
Miranda.
Hello.
And Drew.
Hey, guys.
How's everyone doing tonight?
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
How are you?
Doing great. Well, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the date of today is 10-11-12.
Yeah,
it's
all good.
Wow.
Anything spooky going on today? Any craziness happening?
No? Just school and stress and the usual.
The usual, of course. So, of course, I know you probably can't get around it. I don't know if all of you have seen it, but we have the debate with the vice president. Is anyone talking about it with you guys amongst your friends?
Yeah, some people were saying if we were going to watch it, but it's at 9 o'clock, so can't watch it just yet.
Anyone else?
I mean, I was talking about it with some of my customers at my job, but doesn't seem too enthused about the vice presidential debates. Though the main point of interest is if Ryan is also going to stick to Romney's whole flipping the script about who he cares about all of a sudden. That's the main point that people are looking forward to.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that Paul Ryan is going to speak better compared to Joe Biden.
He's
going
to be another.
Yeah. Huh?
He's going to be another Joe Biden, you think?
No, as a Republican who supports Obama, I personally think that Paul Ryan is going to be a better speaker than Joe Biden is.
Well, just to get into politics a little bit, they're saying that Biden has tremendous experience, especially when it comes to speaking. But then they're saying that, according to the polls, that they feel that Paul Ryan is going to win in this case for this evening.
The only thing that he has working against him is that he throws out information that's not factual and that can illegitimize whatever he has to say. So hopefully he has his, not hopefully does he have his facts straight.
And the difficult thing is, I mean, this is what they're talking about, is that there is sort of a disparity between Romney and Paul Ryan. So when he speaks, he has to make sure he speaks upon Governor Romney's platform versus his platform.
Yeah.
So, and ironically, speaking of making sure that you sound like a vice president, look like a vice president. And we always talk about, well, in school, when you're in grade school, they talk about not what that, it's not important about the outside, it's what's inside that really matters. I saw a survey done by Huffington Post. It was actually called Signs That You're an Ugly American. And then that you're, if you see these signs, that's considered you being an ugly American. What seven signs do you think they listed?
An ugly American? I don't know. I mean, a lot of Americans are ugly.
One of them they listed as a tire, white sneakers and a fanny pack, and a baseball hat.
Right person pulling it off.
Another, when, I guess this is, I'm assuming this is when you travel to different places outside of the U.S. Another one is when you speak only English and you're not willing to understand the culture. Let's see, trying to recreate America abroad, overpacking. I just thought it was interesting that they did the survey. I mean, basically the title just stands out, and you're thinking, why are we talking about ugly America? But actually it really talks about signs of how you would stand out when traveling to other countries, when appearance is definitely a big thing, especially amongst high school students. So if a student or a young adult saw that type of survey, obviously appearance is what matters. It will signify or exude that appearance is what matters, but I thought that was interesting. So the fall season brings, of course, great celebration of homecoming. Whether you just had one or you'll be attending one this weekend, school spirit is really brought out at this time, just like the patriotic exuberance in November with the elections. Students are just proud to represent their school. So tonight we're going to be talking about homecoming of all different, at all different angles. As you know, I love to bring us back into time, no matter what the topic may be. So the history of homecoming, the reason why people have homecoming is to welcome back alumni, to bring them home, come home. They have sporting events like football games, and this is in college as well as high school. And in high school, they have proms, junior and senior proms, and colleges they have just alumni events. I know, actually, you guys can speak upon this. We'll have individuals on different sides. We'll start with Sasheen. I know you said about your high school, your homecoming experience was non-existent. Is that true?
Yeah, we didn't really have a homecoming, but I know we had a prom, and they had to, I didn't even go to prom, so we didn't really do much for celebrating anything. Yeah.
And Miranda, you can speak upon the opposing side. I believe, does your school have homecoming?
Yeah, we do.
So what is it like that whole week?
Well, we don't actually have any teams or people coming home, but, you know, it's still just like a big dance for us, so the whole week before homecoming is like spirit week for us, and every day has like a different theme leading up to homecoming, so it's a lot of fun.
Edric, I know, does your college have homecoming?
If we did, I didn't know about it, but alumni weekend is almost coming, and we're having alumni just come and visit their Greek organization. Like, as far as I know, only the Greek organizations are participating in alumni weekend.
Yeah, sometimes they coincide alumni weekend with homecoming weekend, just basically bringing back individuals and rekindling that team, that school spirit. Ashley, did you have homecoming at your college?
No, I go to a CUNY school, which in New York is like, there's state colleges and it's city colleges. And since my school is a commuter school, we don't really gather people up for homecomings. Usually people are always having something to do. So we don't really do that, to my knowledge. If I'm repping Brooklyn College wrong, I'm sorry. But to my knowledge, we don't do that.
And even though you guys didn't attend it, or some of you didn't attend it in high school, you can speak upon it just based upon talking to either your relatives or any other young individual. In high school, you have the senior and junior prom, which is basically a pretty big deal. And it seems as though, you can also see this through reality TV when they have the Sweet 16 parties. And how big it gets. So it seems as though, especially in particular with homecoming, that each class or generation, they want to make it bigger than the last. They want to make it bigger than the last year's class. And it becomes more than just a dance. And actually, some say that it was considered a rite of passage. Their first formal, even though the formal dresses are getting shorter and shorter, but there's no performer. Usually means long gowns, but that's not really formal. But Drew, what do you think about that notion of the right? You're receiving the rite of passage with this homecoming dance, junior and senior prom. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a junior prom, and actually in high school, homecoming was pretty big for everyone. Everyone usually attended that. I mean, my school was 7th through 12th grade. It's a little weird how that worked, but pretty much everyone in the school attended the homecoming, so it was pretty typical to see everyone there, and I don't know about a rite of passage, but it was the norm to go to homecoming, go to the football game, celebrate with everyone, go to a party after. So, I mean, I don't know if it was established as a rite of passage, but it was typical for you to go.
Yeah. Miranda, what do you think? Do you agree with Drew?
Well, at my school, it is a lot like a rite of passage. I mean, just because you've waited for a while and now you're old enough to go. It's something that a lot of people get really excited about and look forward to and everything.
Yeah, it's true. In the 19th century, prom was like considered a coming out. I mean, the parents basically dressed them up in debutante outfits. The entire family was involved. The father would meet the date. The daughter or son would probably feel embarrassed because of the exorbitant pictures being taken by everyone. You probably may not be able to speak upon this personally, but do you think that sort of tradition still occurs amongst families, or is it just basically just the teens involved? What do you think, Christine?
I think it happens amongst families, too. We were talking about popularity. Hello?
So we're saying the tradition with the families, how you come to the house and you meet the father, you meet the whole family, take pictures. That definitely did when I was in high school. And, of course, you don't have that. It's not as apparent in college. But the tradition that existed in the past, based upon, like, the new technology and everything fast changing now with the young teens, do you think that still occurs today?
Yeah, definitely. People definitely still come together and reunite, and technology has made it possible for people that are farther away. Like, some people, like, video chat from, like, different countries just to have them involved in reunions, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, what do you think?
About, like, people's willingness to get together?
I
missed the question by a hair, I'm not going to lie.
All right, everyone's a little bit tired today. All right, so.
I'm so sorry. I'm working on, like, 4 hours of sleep.
Everyone's working on 4 hours. So the tradition of coming together with your family, taking pictures, that existed a while back, do you think amongst the teenagers today that that still occurs? Is that still important? Or are they just bypass and make sure they get the biggest Hummer limo and go to their dance and go to the after party?
I'm gonna put it in terms of this movie I watched with Meryl Streep. It's called The Iron Lady. People, check that movie out. It's an amazing movie. So she said the problem, Margaret Thatcher, the character that she plays, said that the problem with people today, young people, is that they're too hell-bent on being somebody instead of helping somebody. And I think that's just like the way that things are right now. We're so hell-bent on saying that we were someplace. Oh, I was in a limo, I went to some fancy place. That's how I feel like my generation is, and I don't really like it. They much rather say that they did something they perceive as cool than just, you know, actually connect with people. Nowadays, people don't want to go anywhere with you unless you're doing something cool. Like, whatever happened to just kicking it like we did when we were in middle school? I don't know, like, but that's just, like, what I've noticed. I mean, I don't dorm in college, so guys who dorm, it might be different for you guys, but I know that the people I know, they don't really gather unless they're doing something fabulous, which I think is obnoxious.
I think it's changing, though. I feel like people are more inclined to do things that are just, you know, more relaxed. I don't know, maybe that's dorming, but people, we don't really have that many crazy and cool things to do on campus, but, like, people just gather just to sit and do nothing sometimes, and it's fun sometimes.
I guess. Two different perspectives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we have Teen Station. What were you saying, Edric?
No, that was actually Drew. Oh, okay.
Oh, Drew.
Yeah, no, I thought the question was going more towards homecoming and prom, and for that...
Right.
I mean, for my prom, it was a big deal to have your family come. Everyone takes pictures. I mean, for me, we met at somebody's house. My family came. Everyone's family came. Yeah, and we kind of all took pictures together. But for homecoming, it was more of you're on your own. Just go to the party or go to the dance and stuff. But for prom, it was still very formal. You're still meeting with everyone, taking pictures with parents and stuff. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah, some schools actually they have a dance like the next evening, which is sort of considered sort of similar to the prom. But in addition, so the second day or the prom or the whole homecoming weekend, in addition to it being, or some may believe, a rite of passage, is also a time when you're permitted freedom. Of course, with some limitations depending upon the household. Like I said before, people take the Hummer limos, or I'm sure they have the Porsche Cayenne limos, and just any type of limo you can even imagine. Maybe they'll have soon a Mini Cooper limo one of these days.
That would be hot. I would love that.
But it's basically a time when you can really experience freedom. In the beginning, I mean, for the juniors, it's sort of coming to the end, and for the seniors, this, of course, is their last homecoming weekend, but it's a time where they basically can really understand and experience freedom. So speaking about freedom, and have you guys heard of the saying YOLO?
Definitely.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yes.
So, Ashley, let's hear from you since your response is, oh, Lord. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay. How I feel about YOLO, which is so ridiculous, is that it's damn catchy, which is why I hate Drake, because why didn't I think to just make You Only Live Once an acronym? But it's annoying because people say it for everything, like, I'm thirsty, YOLO. What does that have to do with anything? That's my issue. If people use it intelligently, then it would be okay, it'd be cool, whatever. But people use it for, like, the dumbest thing. I'm going to the bathroom, YOLO. What? That's where I draw the line. That's all.
In the bathroom.
Was that
the shame? It's not going to be their last time
you You never know.
But you going to the bathroom has nothing to do with You Only Live Once. You Only Live Once is like, oh, I'm going to go skydiving, YOLO. That's the YOLO moment. Not
like
I'm going to go
that
take
you
a
only
hit.
Live once, and
yeah,
then, like, you're never going to pee ever again if you don't go right now.
Yeah.
Do people say this term, have you heard of this term, Miranda, in your high school? Or are they saying it, or just mostly in the older, like, in college years?
Everybody says it in my high school.
Oh, they do.
4-year-olds say it, Star. 4-year-olds like, yeah, well. Everyone says it.
So basically no one knows the meaning of it, but it's a catchy thing, and Drake says it, so it must mean something.
I feel like some people say it just to make fun of other people who say it. So, yeah.
And it's just ironic that, well, the saying, you only live once, is seen or perceived as something that's, like, newly founded by Drake. Like, wow, that was so deep. But You Only Live Once has been around for quite some time, and it had meaning when it was not an acronym. But I can see, do you think he can take that term to a different level of sort of a positive path?
Well, I think it is already positive.
I thought you were saying it wasn't.
No, I wasn't saying that it wasn't positive. I was saying that it's annoying the context in which stupid people use the term. That's
I think people mean negative. Like, they kind of used it, overused it so much that they just made it seem, like, bad. Like, not as
powerful, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you know when he's, like, say something so many times, it just doesn't mean anything anymore.
So what do you say in regards to, there's an event that happened, an occurrence that happened in September where an aspiring rapper, artist, tweeted YOLO as he was speeding down the highway, and unfortunately it became fatal and they crashed, but tweeting those things and basically living on the edge seems like it's the right thing to do or the cool thing to do, and connecting that the acronym YOLO. So can it go the wrong route, or what can you do to make sure that it stays positive?
Wait until everybody stops saying it and then you say it.
No, I don't think, I feel like there's no way to make it back to good. I feel like now people just connotate that word to bad. Because people just use it too much. Like now,
You think it's the connotation? I don't know. I don't feel like the connotation is bad. I just feel like it's overused and it's not. It doesn't have the same meaning. But I don't think it's bad necessarily.
It's not bad. It's kind of like whenever people hear it, they're like, oh my God, stop! Because it's like you're saying it. It just sounds stupid now. But before, it probably sounded, it was probably, like, more meaningful.
Right.
Yeah. I've never really understood the point of the word YOLO, you know. It's like, it just became popular all of a sudden. And I found out it was popular. I didn't listen to Drake or anything, but my friends just came up to me one day, and they were like, yeah, let's get some shirts with YOLO on it.
So there you have it. That's an example. So speaking of, like, immense hype of things, especially while relating to homecoming, the nomination of the court obviously is a big deal amongst the schools if you do have homecoming. Who's
what
gonna
is that?
Well, you're nominating, like, the king. Are you nominating the queen? You're nominating usually the prince and princesses are the younger grades, like either the sophomore, freshman or junior. Is that the same thing at your school, Miranda?
I think that might be for prom, but I don't know. Our school doesn't have that for homecoming.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we had that. We actually had that for both, but some schools, I talked to other high school students, had that for their homecoming. So the meaning, obviously, is do you think it is still all about being popular when nominating for these things?
I feel like before it used to be for popularity, like who was cooler and things like that. But like our school during prom, I feel like the people that were voted, they were voted more based on how like good, like what kind of person they were, because before, like in movies, you see girls, like the popular girls getting voted, and like the girls that are the most meanest, but I feel like now it's more about your personality and more about who you are and what you do to your community.
Seriously, because me and Tassine went to the same, me, Tassine, and Edric went to the same high school. Edric, did you go to prom?
No, I was going to go to Bayside's prom, but then my date failed a few classes.
Nice. But, yeah, me and Edric and Tassine went to the same high school, and all the quote-unquote popular girls and popular guys from our school were, like, on the prom queen board, and then there's one underdog for each section, right? And the person who won prom queen was, like, a total underdog. Like, she was competing with, like, I would say some heavyweights,
she was so
you would
cute.
Say. Yeah, she was, and when she won, everyone was like, yes! And some people were even like, who's that? I remember one girl was standing behind me like, who is that? Didn't even know who she was. And I was so happy. Because I was like, the popular people did not prevail. I was so happy.
Go on, Edric.
No, that was Drew once again. Sorry.
Oh, Drew.
You know, I mean, with prom, the underdog did win, but unfortunately it was because it was a joke. It was like they voted for the underdog just because it would be a joke, because on the guy's side, the popular guy won. So to make it as uncomfortable as it could possibly be, they had the underdog win, who was I guess you could call it quote-unquote unpopular person. So having a popular person and unpopular person up there would make it, I guess some people think, the funniest situation possible. So that's why the underdog won in my situation.
Wow, they were kind of
mature.
Yeah.
They were making fun of her.
No, in our school it was genuine. Who won, won because people wanted to vote them.
Yeah.
Not for some social experiment. Yeah. Wow, horrible.
I think it's because there are so many different kinds of people where our school was that people were, like, more accepting and more...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just there's different instances that have been in the news talking about homecoming and, of course, the football game. And so there's a student named Danny Ledecker. Who actually had autism, and the students embraced him, and they made him the homecoming king in Linden High School. And there's another instance where a little boy in eighth grade, they had him score his first touchdown at the football game at Haynes Middle School in St. Charles. So, and there's actually a lot of stories like this I've seen within the past couple of weeks. Is it sort of a changing of what students are defining basically popularity, or what do you think? Is that people are actually really trying to figure out who that individual is, and they feel that they generally... basically deserve it?
I hope. I hope so.
Speak upon this more than one word sentence? One word?
I mean, well, for high school, I have no clue anymore. I don't really pay attention to my high school anymore because now it's second year college.
Oh, but so long ago. I can't even imagine how you can not remember.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I told the example of my grade, and I didn't see it happening then. So that's why I say I hope, because I hope the situation is changing a bit.
Right.
But, yeah. Anyone else want to chime in?
So what do you think teens' perception of popularity are today? I hope you guys can speak upon this, because you guys are still teenagers.
Popularity is always important, but then there are always those who don't really care much about popularity. And then, like, when I was in high school, I was kind of, like, one of those people who didn't really care. I was, to be honest, I was an outcast in high school, and then a lot of people didn't like me. But then, like, it's okay because I don't like them either. And then, like, no one really bullied me when I was in high school. And, like, no one really made fun of me either.
There was this one girl who was...
I'm a weird kid.
Yeah, you were.
You're too much magic.
Okay.
There was this one girl in our sophomore year of high school, I met her sophomore year of high school, and she wasn't very social and she didn't have that many friends, but all of a sudden, when hipster became cool, she, like, just, everyone just wanted to be her friend. And
when what became cool?
When, like, the term hipster became cool, when, like, because she was a hipster, remember, I forgot her name.
Don't say her name on the radio. Cool.
Urban outfitter. She became really cool. It was really funny. And I think Glee has a lot to do with it. I remember I was watching, like, a show, and they were like, all these kids, they just keep watching Glee, and all the popular kids are now uncool, and all the uncool kids are super cool, like the artsy kids. Because the artsy kids became really cool, and jocks and stuff, they aren't as cool as they were before.
Society is dumb. What can I tell you?
Is that
I do think bullying and popularity is a regional thing, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because if you ever Mean Girls, right, came out when we were just starting. Well, people who are my age were just starting middle school, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that in my mind was, wow, that's how high school is gonna be. That's intimidating, right? Now in New York, high school is nothing like how it's depicted in Mean Girls. Nothing. I mean, there are cliques, but it's not that, you know, that small and that intense and that everyone's in your business. But a small-town high school is radically different. I mean, in my high school, we had 4,400 or 4,500 kids compared to a high school in the Midwest that maybe has a 500 total student population. So... Mm-hmm. Bullying would be a lot more prominent in a smaller school because everyone knows so much about you. Because, you know, you live in the same town, you go to school in the same town, you eat at the same places, people know your family, like, people know more. Whereas in New York, it's like, okay, you live in Fresh Meadows, I live in Jamaica, you live in Flushing, like, we all live in such different areas that we don't know anything about each other. So it's really hard to bully when you're not that deep into what people do.
Yeah. Like, there wasn't much gossip in our school, except recently there was, like, a smut list or something like that. But before...
What?
We school,
burn book.
Yeah, there was, like...
So, actually, just what I was about to say, you read my mind, Ashley, talking about Mean Girls. It was all about wearing the right clothes, hanging out with the right people, mimicking the celebrity pop stars. To an extent, if a student fit that qualification, they would almost basically begin to understand or feel as though they are entitled to something, and usually with entitlement brings confidence. And there is a study by researchers in the University of Virginia, although she targeted the 13- and 14-year-olds, I think it still coexists in the amongst college and high school students, but... This is just an excerpt. She said that teenagers who feel good about themselves and are comfortable with their peers can be socially successful without being popular in the traditional sense. The discovery is meaningful because the children who are popular will do well socially. They studied 164 adolescents from racially, ethnically, and socioeconomically diverse backgrounds, and they felt that the teenagers felt good about their own social standings, did well over time, and regardless of if they're popular or not, and the teenagers who were increasingly less hostile and more frequently sought out by their peers, the ones that were comfortable basically had more friends. And the individuals who lacked the strong sense of their own social acceptance were rated from their teens as unpopular. So, Miranda, what are your thoughts about that? Do you agree with that, or do you think that that is true? Because, I mean, it sort of not really goes against what we were just talking about. Like, if you're popular, no matter what your character is, whether it's good or bad, or most of the time on the movies, the popular people were the mean ones. But in this sense, it's just basically being comfortable in your own skin and confident that you'll fit in with someone. And this, these are like high school or, no, actually 13 and 14 year olds. So what do you think? Do you think that's true, or it depends on the region, as Ashley said?
I think that it's definitely part of it, just having that confidence and going in will, you know, make you, I guess, a little bit better in the popularity place. But there is, still is a lot of, like, rudeness and importance on having the right outfit in my school, at least. I mean, you don't see any of the popular girls come to school, you know, without, you know, a ton of makeup on and the right outfit picked out. So, I don't know, I guess it's a combination.
Yeah. What do you think, Drew?
I mean, when you're comfortable with yourself, I think it's much easier to become a leader. And when you're a leader, people tend to follow you. And when people follow you, you are so-called popular. So I think it definitely plays a role, being comfortable with yourself. But I still think that Miranda's right with the whole outfit thing. You still need those base traits to be popular.
Ashley, do you have anything to say behind that?
I want to apologize. Something fell on me. I wasn't expecting it. I can usually control my comments, but that just took me by surprise, so I apologize.
We're glad that you're right.
But, I mean, I think popularity is based on really superficial traits. I mean, yes, you could be a leader and all that stuff, but usually I've come to find that the kids who are popular are the ones who 20 years from now aren't doing anything significant with their lives, and the people who were nerds and outcasts are like rocket scientists making six figures. So I feel like popularity is not something that teenagers should try to strive for, because the teenagedom is the shortest period of, you know, I would say, like, our stages. It's only 6 years. It's a six-year period. And then after that, you're out of it. You're out of that awkward phase, and you could focus on, you know, your adulthood and making your life the way you want it to be. So I think that teenagers should focus more on building themselves up than trying to be popular for 4 years of their life.
I don't think that's true. I don't think, like, all unpopular people, I mean, all popular people become, like, you know, like, poor when they grow up, and, like...
I didn't say all.
I feel like popularity now is more about just being yourself, and that is how you get more friends, and that's how people love you, because that's the trend now, just being who you are, that awkward, like, whoever you are, doesn't matter, will accept you. I feel like that's what's making people popular.
Well, we're coming from the East Coast, though, where, honestly, the East Coast mentality is really different. And you know those stories, like the old lady who was tormented in the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the Midwest and the South and the West, it's still a bullying, popularity is still a very big issue there. Like, in the East Coast, I don't know what it is about us, but, like, our mentalities are different. And our popularity, usually the popular people in East Coast schools are people who you can tell are going to be successful in the future for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But in the West, like, and in the Midwest, it's still very much the same mean girls construct. So that, I wasn't talking about just our region.
Right.
But I get what you're saying.
I think we kind of, well, I kind of live in a bubble that everyone kind of loves everyone.
It's cute. The world is evil.
Edric, what did you feel?
Regarding whether this is,
I mean, the study that,
regional or not?
That you just did amongst 13 and 14-year-olds, that you found that because they are comfortable with who they are, which I think is a fairly young age to be comfortable with who you are, A lot of people don't really find themselves until college. But this is a study taken recently, so I don't know if that's a trend amongst young individuals right now, and how far, of course, is the study amongst the select group, so we don't know how large this is, but they feel comfortable, so because they felt comfortable with who they were popular, and they found their group that they can connect with.
Well, it's good that they're comfortable with themselves, but then I just don't think that it's good to be popular for the sake of being popular. Popularity should just come naturally through merit. That's what I believe.
It should come naturally. Can you speak upon that?
For example, that friend that Dean was talking about, she became popular by being herself and nothing more, really.
Right, so isn't that what we were saying, or what the researcher discovered?
Yeah, so it definitely does sound good, but I don't think it works for everybody, because I know people who try their best to be popular for the sake of being popular.
Well, yeah, I guess if the key thing is to see what individual's definition and what they feel is or defines the art of being popular, or what that means. Is it a bad thing or is it a good thing? I guess it's where we should start in regards to that. But speaking of, in spirit of homecoming, these September and October months, it's the home stretch, and baseball, of course, homecoming in high school and colleges, and most certainly the coming of home in the political arena. Amongst all these different places, it's a game of sports. Who's going to get nominated? Who exudes the most spirit? Who will bring out the strength? And Paul Ryan's case, he brought out his P90X strength. We had the two homecoming kings have their debate this past week, and now we're getting to, actually, as we speak, the homecoming princes, Joe Biden as well as Paul Ryan, who are going to fight to the end, and of course with their words, during these debates. So in light of popularity, is it the same within elections? Do you think that people vote or are going to vote for someone because they feel that they are popular or were popular or look popular? What do you think, Miranda?
Absolutely.
Miranda?
I think that just your charisma and stuff does have, like, an effect on how people are going to vote. Like, if you're likable and everything and you're a nice person, it will sort of affect what people think, and they'll probably be more likely to support you. But people still focus a lot on the issues when they vote. I don't think as many people just say, I'm going to vote for this person because blank percent of the population wants to vote for him.
Right. Ashley, what were you going to say?
The perfect song would have been like High School Never Ends by Bowling for Soup, because that's exactly what this is. It's like you just graduate from, you know, not electing the prom king to electing the president. It's the same thing. It's all a show. I mean, that's all elections are. It's like show and tell. Like right now they're telling us what they're going to do, and when we elect them, they show us how they're going to do it. It's pretty much what it is. And honestly, I think that elections are 90% likability. And it's not just in the sense that, oh, he dresses nice, he looks nice, he probably smells nice. It's also like, do you like their policies? Do you feel like this is a person of good character? Because if it wasn't about, you know, likability, then why would character play such an essential role in, you know,
yeah,
in presidential debates?
the reason why I support support Obama over Romney as a Republican is because I just don't see Romney as someone that we can trust. So that's why character is so important.
Yeah.
There's one, you can speak upon this, your thoughts. There's one individual who said or heard the person say that they feel that Governor Mitt Romney looks good in a suit and it looks like a president, so that's why I'm going to vote for him.
Well, Paul Ryan looks like a president.
So there are people, there can be people, I mean, maybe in different areas that think like that as well. What do you think?
They're uneducated people.
It's kind of like the movie The King's Speech.
Oh, that's such a good movie.
It was an amazing movie. He had to kind of fix his speech impediment because then people wouldn't want to listen to him, and people wouldn't, like, you know, even though he was a very intelligent man, people would just wouldn't take him seriously. So appearance and how you portray yourself is very important in an election because in the end it is just a popularity competition.
Yeah.
Even though people, because, like, most of America aren't even educated enough to, you know, like, follow up with what's happening in the election. It's usually people in the metropolitan area that kind of care, and people that have jobs. Like, people who have farms, they don't care as much. And most of the...
That's not a fair statement. Don't... That's not fair. They may care.
I'm sorry. But, I mean, I'm saying a lot of people don't care as much. Most of America doesn't care as much.
Yeah, true.
And that's why people just vote. Some people just vote on looks or on who sounds better or what you're friends with.
Piggybacking off of that, what you're just saying in light of the debate, Romney won because he was aggressive and he really, like, brought it to President Obama, no matter, like, what was that, just disregarding the content, but just based upon, if you're just listening and not really analyzing anything either on either side, Governor Romney was the one that won, and that's what everyone said. So that sort of coincides with what we're talking about in light of, like, the popularity and appearance and just what your actions at that time. And now, nationally, Governor Romney is pulling ahead. However, amongst the swing states, President Obama is ahead. And usually, when you're sort of the national polls that come out and the swing state polls that come out are supposed to basically mirror each other. So once you see that someone is ahead in swing states, oh, then it's definitely in the future, like, that individual is going to get majority amongst individuals nationally. But, however, this time it's sort of at opposing ends. So some people, there's a survey that they did or a poll that they did said that they already knew who they were going to vote for before they saw the debate. So that didn't matter. So I guess in that sense that they don't need, some people don't need that debate.
Yeah, selective perception.
What's selective perception?
Oh, sorry. Selective perception is basically when, like, two people or a group of people can watch the same thing and interpret what happened differently because they see what they want to see. Like, if I went into the presidential debate, right, watching it, and I'm like, I'm voting for Obama, then no matter what Obama says, I'm going to try to bring out the good in it because I like him. I'm voting for him. So I'm going to be like, yeah, okay, Romney was aggressive, but Obama had better points. You know what I'm saying? That's selective perception. Because it's basically going into something with a bias and taking what you want out of it. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But the whole point of debates is reaching out to the people who don't know what they want or who they want to vote for. And that's why Obama dropped the ball, because you have to speak as though people, this is the first time people are hearing anything about your goals, your motives, your plan. You know what I'm saying? Some people really do wait until the debate to know what's going on. and he needed to talk to people like they didn't know who he was, and he didn't do that.
What were your thoughts about the debate, Edric?
I actually didn't watch the debate, but then, like, I read a lot of commentary. However, like, I heard that both sides lied their asses off, except that Mitt Romney was able to sound better, and that Obama was trying to carefully think of answers to Mitt Romney.
And Drew, did you hear anything about it, or did most of your friends, did you guys watch it, or just sort of read it on Facebook? Everyone was commenting like crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it. I guess my eyes were on the TV. I wasn't really listening closely. I mean, to be honest, they're throwing around all these numbers, and I mean, I've watched debates before, and after it, they talk about how you go on Fox and you see how they defend the Republicans. You go on CNN, they defend the Democrats. And you see how they go, oh, this fact is wrong, this fact is right. So I find these debates really just about how you hold yourself against the other person, which is why I think it really is the popularity contest.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what I got from the debate.
What did you say, Ashley?
Do you agree or disagree? I'm so sorry. I'm like watching the vice presidential debate simultaneously.
Did you agree or disagree with Drew
about how he feels about how presidential debates work?
I feel like
he has a nail on the head. I mean, he watched it like many Americans would, with a complete lack of knowledge of the terms that these people use. And they know that people don't know these terms. Like, the most Googled term during the presidential debate was Simpson Bowles, because they kept throwing it around like 10,000 times. And it's just like, it's kind of one of those things that they throw over your head so that you're kind of confused. And he said that, you know, he was just watching the TV, not really like in depth. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually how most people do watch it. So I feel like I agree with him. Like, it is a popularity contest. Since he doesn't understand exactly what they're saying, he has to go by who presents themselves better. And that's really just how the nature of debates work.
This is true. So a lot of words that arise or ideas are concepts that arise not only when nominating high school, homecoming king or queen, as well as throughout college, the homecoming scene, and now, of course, the presidential debate, our integrity, trust. Yet still appearance, but as you said, holds a factor. And exactly what Miranda said is, it's basically you need to go through with your gut feeling whether you're voting for someone in high school for a homecoming king or queen, or voting for someone in college, or even as big as this presidential election. What is mattering behind the scenes, and whether you're taking action, and you don't necessarily need that. Basically for popular attention, and you just do things because you know that it's right. So that's sort of the consensus of what I'm getting from all of you guys. Is this true?
True.
So, of course, we like to thank Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, for allowing us to come on air. And thank you, of course, our listeners. Speaking of actions behind the scene, let us know, viewers, which celebrity you admire because of their involvement in the community. And every show, we will highlight a celebrity who is involved and engaged in their own community. Always tell us your thoughts. We would like to continue to spread your word and hear what you guys have to say. So
follow us on Twitter, Teen Station, and you'll be able to find all our teen hosts. And we can speak upon the popularity and what it means and what homecoming means. And if you even have homecoming, everyone, if you have Twitter, you can let everyone know. Ashley?
Thy name is Ashley. You can follow me there. All the spelling is normal spelling, so no worries.
Tashine?
Tashine Machine, T-A-H-S-E-E-N-M-A-C-H-I-N-E.
Edric?
What exactly do you want me to
do? Just make up one on the spot. Drew?
I don't have a Twitter, actually.
Twitter. I do.
All right.
Twitter,
well, thank you to Shane, yeah. Drew, Miranda, of course, Ashley, and Edric for coming on. Thank you, of course, for listening, everyone, on Teen Station, where you can always engage in the perspective of all and the opinion of many. This is really our untapped truth, guys. What do you guys have to say? It starts with the conversation. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Watch the debate.
You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me? Think you've had the last laugh? But you think that everything good is gone? And you left me broken down. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What that feeds a lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you income to charity more than the two of us combined.